God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
On the program today, Pastor Larry Spargimino talks with Gary Miller about his book, In the Beginning. Science has yet to and will never explain the beginning, because they are limited to natural laws. The beginning was supernatural, so all they can say is that there was a big bang. How scientific? Have you ever seen anything appear out of nothing, much less everything you see now? Here now is Pastor Larry and Gary Miller.
Thank you, Marvin, and greetings to all in our listening audience. What a great delight it is for me to be with you today at the microphone. It's a great privilege. It's a blessing. We always like to bring men and women who are scholars, teachers, missionaries, who know the Word of God, love the Lord Jesus Christ, and have something to say that will be a blessing to you. You know, friends, we are in dark and desperate days, and we need to hear God's truth. And today, we have Gary Paul Miller with us. He has an excellent book that he's written, Creation in the Beginning. It's a paperback. As I first look at it, it doesn't look very imposing. It's about 200 pages, but it is chock full of good Bible study material, good exegesis, good thoughts on the Bible, relating one portion of the Bible to the other, which I think is legitimate since God's Word has only one author, God the Holy Spirit. Gary, it's so good to be with you.
Well, thank you, Larry, for having me on your show today. I appreciate that very much.
I know your work and our work is pretty much parallel. We love some of the same things, and we want to honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I think anything that gets us back into the Word of God like you do is really a blessing. So tell us, why write a book on creation?
Well, you know, Larry, this book came about because I had a question about Genesis 1-2, such as like when and how did God create the earth, the water, the darkness, or even space itself that you find in that verse? You know, in regard to creation, there are all types of conclusions being drawn from evidences outside the Bible. But I wanted to see what God had to say in the Bible. And God tells us in Hebrews that it is through faith that we can understand how God created. In Hebrews 11:3, he says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You know, most people want to look to science to understand how God created. But science can't tell us how God created. Science is limited, as it can only look at what is already created. Only the Bible can tell us how God created. And as Hebrews says, only by faith in God's Word can we understand how He created everything. You know, it was God who created everything, and it will be God who tells us how He did it. And as I saw how God created through the Scriptures, I knew I had to write a book, and a book that relied solely on what the Bible said, and that's what this book does. It correlates the verses of that God tells us about how He created everything, and that's what I did with this book.
Well, certainly God is Lord of heaven and earth, and He is sovereign even over time. And I love the little diagram you have on page 24. You're speaking about past, present, future. Man views time horizontally. You know, from left, that's past, to middle is present, to the right is future. But God can view time vertically. It's always present. You know, like when He identified Himself to Moses, I am that I am. He didn't say, I was what I used to be, or I am what I will be someday. He is eternally present. So that gives us a unique perspective on time. And that is a view of time that is not limited by human limitations. And that's one of the reasons why I love Genesis 1-1 and the opening chapters of the book of Genesis.
Right, Larry. Yeah, you know, in my book, I go through a lot of things that God created, time being one of them. My book isn't limited to just the creation of the earth. It expands. It looks at how He created the heaven and how He created space and where God came from, and it talks about time. So it wraps a lot of God's creation all together in that book.
Well, certainly God is self-existent. He didn't need to create us. It's not like something was missing in His existence and He needed to make the world and make people. So what was God's purpose for creation?
Well, God tells us one of His purposes for creation is in Titus 1:2, where it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You know, Larry, that's one of my favorite verses right here. It says that God that cannot lie. I can trust God with everything he says. He will always tell me the truth, and that goes for creation. And God tells me in this verse here that when he created, he made a promise to himself that he would supply eternal life to that creation he was about to create, because he wanted to, that creation to live forever with him. He wasn't going to create something that would be have only a limited existence. He wanted his creation to live forever with him. And that's part of why he created. And we can see that in the very first verse of the Bible, where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And heaven is singular there. And that's important. When God created in the beginning, there were no divisions between heaven and earth. God was going to be one with all his creations. You know, most new Bibles change that verse right there in the first verse of the Bible. They change heaven to heavens. And in so doing, they're adding divisions between God and his creation. But they're wrong. And I talk about that in my book, and this goes back to God's purpose for his creation. He wanted to be one with his creation, with no divisions. And that's an important doctrine to understand. And it's a reason why when you, to look in your Bible and make sure it has heaven singular, and that tells you got the right Bible.
You have several appendices. I'm looking at Appendix E right now that speaks about heaven or heavens. And then you say, you're commenting on Isaiah 42:5, "Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out." And then you say the reason the scriptures say that God stretched out the heavens is that all three heavens are contained within the original heaven. So I think the distinction between heaven and heavens is really important, as you're pointing out.
Right, Larry, it really is, because it goes to God's original purpose. When he created, he wanted one heaven and one earth with no divisions between him and his creation. And it's really interesting that in the end, the reason there's divisions is because of sin. And when sin came in, it caused divisions within the heaven, and that's where you get the heavens. And we'll probably talk a little bit more later about the three heavens that are there. But in Revelation 21, when God recreates the heavens and the earth, he says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." There's a singular heaven in the end again. It's just one heaven and one earth with no divisions, and that's exactly how God started it, and that's how he's going to end it, and that's something that we can really look forward to, being one with God with no divisions between him and us.
I've often meditated on the fact that God created out of nothing. Really is the motivation, at least in my heart, to worship the Lord. I mean, you know, any God that we can put in a box, that we can explain, that is kind of like us, like you and me, that kind of a deity is not worthy of worship. But our God is so amazing. He speaks, and that which was not suddenly comes into existence. Do you find that the doctrine of creation, absolute creation out of nothing, is really a grounds for praise, for worship, for thanksgiving?
Oh, yes, Larry. In Psalms 150, verse 6, it says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Everything God created owes its existence to the Lord. That's from the birds to the mountains to the angels to the sun and the moon and the people that are all created. Everything should bring praise to the Lord, because it is by him alone that we owe our existence to. You know, science and the world tries to come up with different ways to you know, through evolution to try and bring about our existence, but all those fail. All those are a slap in God's face. We need to praise him and worship him, because he's the creator of all things.
I know there's that marvelous verse in Revelation 4, verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Boy, what a statement of just falling down before God, blessed Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and just worshiping him, because he is creator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gary, let's move on. Let's look at the words "in the beginning." What do they mean, and how do they relate to day one, to the very beginning of all things?
Right. You know, many think that days 1 through 7 are an explanation of "in the beginning." that in the beginning is really referring to days 1 through 7, that they're going to expound upon what happened in the beginning. But that's not so. The scriptures teach that in the beginning is a time period of its own. It happened before day 1 through 7. And we find that as we go through the verses in this book that a lot happened in the beginning, and I detail these things out in the book. I mean, by the time we get to day 1, we see much has already been created, space and darkness and water and the earth and time. And I go through all these things that had to come first before day 1 can happen. And so this is showing us that a lot happened in the beginning. And verse 2 is talking about day 1 is going to pick up after every God has created a lot in the beginning. So it's its own time period. And that's an important doctrine to understand.
I know it's very perceptive that you've brought that out. Page 29, you say, in the beginning is a period of time. It is not a point in time at which things began. As we shall see, a lot took place during the period of time identified as in the beginning. You know, as I've been reading your book, I just, you know, I kind of look at Genesis 1 with new insight, new understanding. It's like going into a mountain valley where I've never been before, and I look around and I start noticing trees and flowers and fields and mountain peaks. It's just a tremendous work that you have done. Well, friends, we are going to pause, and I want to tell you how you can get your own copy of Creation in the Beginning, an excellent book by Gary Paul Miller. Very easy to read. Everything is laid out, lots of scripture in the King James Version. You will love it. It will give you great insight. Our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. Now, Gary, where was God before he created the heaven and the earth? And maybe what was he doing?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a question I had. You know, in Genesis 1:1, it said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, that means there was a time when the heaven and the earth were not created. So I asked myself, where was he before he created the heaven and the earth? You see, most people think God has always lived in the heaven, and that's not true because he created it. And through the studies of the scripture, we see, like you opened the program with, where God says, I am, he has always been. And it's in Isaiah 57:15 that we find the answer to that question, and it tells us where God comes from. It says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. God dwells in another place outside of creation. It's called eternity. And I describe eternity a little bit in the book there on what it's comprised of and what it's made up of. And it's quite fascinating, and you realize that eternity has always been, and everything in eternity always is. So that's where God was before he created everything.
There are those, what should we say, non-Christian, non-theistic views that try to argue that matter is eternal, and they try to get away from the idea of God being outside of time and space and actually his bringing into existence from nothing. But I think the whole idea that matter is eternal is so foreign to the scriptures, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it's very foreign to science to say that everything has always been here. It's pretty hard to believe.
It is. It is. You know, the scriptures, and I bring out some of the verses, they talk about God creating space itself, the dimensions of the north, south, east, and west, where God said he had to create these things. Yeah, for man to try and say everything is eternal that we see is wrong and against the word of God. And it's even against the principles of science. The principles of science even say matter cannot have existed forever, and it just has always been. But God's word gives us the facts of what took place and how God created, and everything needs a beginning, and we know creation began with God.
I think one of the really important practices that we should really bring into our ministry, especially on the mission field, is creation evangelism. I know a lot of people want to start with the New Testament. The New Testament, of course, is very important, or they want to start with John 3:16. But so many of the indigenous people on these remote islands or in jungle areas, they are animist. They have some really strange views of the origin of all things. So would you agree with me that really the place to start in our evangelism, especially with people who have a very different worldview than the Bible teaches, that, hey, we need to start with Genesis 1:1, and in that way, we really tell them who this great and marvelous God is whom we worship.
Right, yeah, Genesis 1:1 is a great place to start. People need to understand that they are a creature created by God. And when you understand that you were created by God, there's a responsibility now to listen to God and to listen to what he has to say, because he's the creator. You didn't create yourself. There's a responsibility when you understand that, hey, if God created me, I need to listen to him and glorify him in what he says.
That's right. We're accountable to him.
And, yes.
And I think that's one of the things that we're sadly lacking in today's world. People do whatever they want. They have no sense of accountability to God or even to other people. You know, once you lose that sense of being responsible to God, then, of course, you can do anything you want, even if it hurts other people. So I think our society probably really started going off the deep end when we started back in 1859 with Darwin, when we threw out what Scripture says about creation. But, Gary, let's plummet this more deeply. Let's probe. Let's tickle a little bit. How did God create a space within eternity for his creation?
Okay, I describe eternity in the book, and we heard in Isaiah where God inhabits, and it's within eternity that God created a space to house his creation. He tells us in Psalms 89:12, the north and the south, thou hast created them. You know, that might be hard for us to understand, that God actually created the north and the south, and there was a time when they did not exist. But God makes this space within eternity. And in Isaiah 40:22, he tells us that he stretched out the heavens as a curtain, and he spread them out as a tent to dwell in. He says the heavens are surrounded by a curtain. God insulated this creation within eternity with something. And he tells us what that is in Psalms 148, verse 4. He talks about, ye waters that be above the heavens. That God created water, and he froze that water around the heaven. And we are, he encapsulated this whole heaven and earth that we live in and see in a frozen ice shell, basically. And he does that for some purposes. That's to insulate us from eternity. And I describe a lot of that in the book there. And so there's a lot that happens in the beginning where God had to create everything that we see. But first, he had to create a space. And he did that. And he describes in great detail throughout the scriptures how he did that. And you see God's wisdom in creating this space that's houses where we live.
Well, there's so much out there that we can just begin to think about. I love that verse in Job 38 and verse 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. I can just imagine Job, you know, putting his hand on his mouth and saying, yeah, I wasn't there at all. Boy, God is the one who's so wonderful. It's such a humbling doctrine. And I'm not surprised at all that Genesis 1 through 11 has been the butt end of attacks from atheists and non-believers, but even from people who are professing Christians, because it is this doctrine of absolute creation, the first 11 chapters of Genesis, the very word of God that Jesus believed in, that is so fundamental and so basic. And when we get away from these dynamic and powerful and life-changing truths, we are in big trouble. Just look at our country now, and you know that what we're saying is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely, Larry. You know, a lot of people say that Genesis chapters 1 through 11 are just a bunch of myths or stories, and they're really not based on fact, but we know they're true. And there we learn the origins of everything, where God created, and we see the origins of sin and Adam and Eve, and death come in, and we see Satan there. And those chapters lay the groundwork for the rest of the scriptures, and why Jesus had to leave heaven and die on the cross for our sins. And it's because of Adam's sin, and Adam's sin was spread throughout all mankind. All his descendants are sinners and come short of the glory of God. So those first few chapters are extremely important.
I think if people believe those first few chapters, the idea of same-sex marriage, the idea of the transgender mania that we're seeing today, the outright rebellion against Christian values and standards, if people knew those chapters, they would say, well, that's wrong. And I think that's what's wrong, that we don't believe and we don't understand those great truths. But Gary, I only have a few more minutes for this first broadcast, but how do we know that the earth was created in the beginning?
Yes, like we discussed a little bit earlier, in the beginning is a time period of its own. And God did a lot of creating in the beginning. And Genesis 1:1 tells us he created the earth in the beginning. And also in Hebrews 1:10, it says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth." There again, we see the earth being created in the beginning, before day one, because when we come to it in day one, we see it already there. It's without form and void, and there's some reasons for that. But we see it already hung in the heaven by the time we come to Genesis 1:2. But we learn in some verses in Psalms where it talks about when God hung the earth, he hung a perfectly created earth that he had created in the beginning. Job 38, verses 4 through 7, talks about God measuring the earth and stretching the line and laying the cornerstone. And he did all this, and then he hung it. And because we find the earth already hung in Genesis 1:2, we know God had to have created it in the beginning, just like he tells us in Genesis 1:1 and Hebrews 1:10.
Well, friends, we are talking with Gary Paul Miller. He is the author of Creation in the Beginning. And one of the things that I want to emphasize, Gary, I think it's really great. You have several appendices in the back. They are tremendous. Appendix A, Summary of Events. B, Dispensation. C, The Ages to Come. D, Our Battle Today. E, Heaven or Heavens. F, The World That Then Was. Appendix G, in. My, that's a marvelous. I was reading that this morning, just on those two words, in, and then Appendix H, salvation. So you're a great teacher, brother. You really get the truth out there.
Larry, I was fortunate. I was raised in a home where God's word was taught to us as a child, and I heard wonderful messages about God's grace.
I would certainly like to suggest to our listeners that your book, Creation in the Beginning, is really a great, what should I say, learning tool for young people. It's eminently biblical, deals with a lot of really deep subjects that are very important, but in a very presentable, understandable way. And I think, Gary, you know as well as I do that young people today are under attack in a most malicious way by a malevolent spirit that's taken over our schools and our colleges and universities. So I want to commend you on the book. Well, friends, we're just about out of time for this first interview with Gary Paul Miller. He's going to be back with us for another broadcast. Marvin, come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get their own copy of Creation in the Beginning.
You can have a copy of this very intriguing book, In the Beginning, for a gift of $20 in the United States and $22 in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to Southwest Radio Church at Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. And remember that this book, as well as all of our materials, are available online on our website at swrc.com. Also available is the best-selling book by Dr. Carl Baugh titled Panorama of Creation, yours for a gift of $10. Better yet, get both books, In the Beginning and Panorama of Creation, for a gift of $25. This is a $30 value for a gift of $25. That number again is 1-800-652-1144, or write to us at Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Stay tuned over most of these stations for our Bible in the News article, and join Pastor Larry and Gary Miller tomorrow on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church. The Bible in the News is a presentation of Southwest Radio Church. Our Bible in the News article today is brought to you by Pastor Larry Spargimino.
One of America's foremost Christian debaters, Ravi Zacharias, claims that the West is being slow-cooked by a resurgence of Islamic fervor around the world and the politically correct crowd is still sound asleep. Zacharias said Europe, America, and the entire world are being lied to by their politicians and most of their media. They refuse to ask the appropriate questions and brand those who dare to do so with nasty labels. He said we are at war, but not officially, and not seriously enough to get serious and name the enemy. Quote, "War in small increments can be deadlier than large-scale war because it doesn't just desensitize the killers, it desensitizes all of humanity." Close quotes. Zacharias believes that deception will rule the day, at least for the present. For now, the layers of distortion cover the graves of the murdered. The whole world has become a courtroom where clever lawyers make truth unattainable, he said. The desensitization has already taken place. We see it in the political correctness that conceals the real culprit. Zacharias said, "The West is being taken down in small portions till one day the lie of the murderer is being protected by smooth-talking power brokers with a bodyguard of lies will be seen for the terrifying belief that it really is." Pamela Geller, author of Stop the Islamization of America, was cited frequently in Ravi Zacharias' presentation. Geller wrote, "The UK Home Office banned me from the country for standing up against this Muslim brutality and thuggery, and they've ruthlessly moved against everyone who stands up against it. So now the Muslim thugs and jihad killers have the run of the place." Close quotes. Zacharias tells the story of a man whose question was considered blasphemous to mosque-goers. Zacharias said the following, "That's the depravity of our age. It is death to ask the pointed question because the answer, if true, betrays the real truth. The masquerade is on, and it is deadly. We watch hundreds die. We hear speeches full of distortion. We tolerate deceit and even reward it. Some in power and in the public eye whitewash the reality while the blood of the murdered cries out from the ground. Our children and grandchildren will inherit the whirlwind because of media pundits and misguided speech makers have sown to the wind by trading in lives for their own power." Close quotes.
That was today's Bible in the News commentary. You can have the entire month of the Bible in the News articles, the audio portion, as you just heard it, on two CDs for an offering of $14 in the United States and $15 in Canada. To order your monthly Bible in the News on CD, just call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. You can also order the Bible in the News on CD by writing to Southwest Radio Church at Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. And you can order the Bible in the News audio on our website at swrc.com. Join us again tomorrow at this same time for the Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News article from Southwest Radio Church.